Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran, and we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that help make the show possible. Right, Tom?
And I am blessed to be here tonight. Thank God. Yes. The battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Fantabulous Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and the Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 Hotline.
And, of course, I want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone. It's at FM Talk 106.5. And we got a packed show for you tonight. Lots of information coming up. Later on, we'll speak with Mr. Lou Lartigue from the South Alabama Veterans Council and Ms. Christine Elser. They'll get us up to speed on some of the latest resources for our veterans and veterans-owned businesses along the coast. We'll also talk with Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. He will give us the latest on their offerings for our veterans and their families and the impact of the virus on what they have to offer. And, of course, Tom's tirade on Do You Have a Mask? Good one you don't want to miss. But first, it is a pleasure to be joined by Mr. Nick DiMario from Ed's Seafood Shed. Nick, welcome back to the Scuttlebutt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Man, I tell you what, I had the chance to, since I've been sick, to go over to the Fantabulous Ed's and partake of some vittles over there, and the seafood is unbelievable.
Well, we were just glad to see that the prodigal Ed's son has returned. we were praying for you, man, and
Lord.
We were happy to see you at breakfast. I'm sorry that I missed you, but...
Well,
man, you're our good luck charm, man.
Yeah, but you know, well, the prayers were answered. And, you know, I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. I feel great and I'm doing well. So, you know, the Lord bless me. And I have to accept that fact and try to move on. See if I can become a better person.
You got a good haircut immediately.
Oh, yeah. I've already been over this other lady. Yeah. Got my ears lowered, man. And she's going to put zippers on them so I can just, you know, as my hair grows out, I can just slide my ears down, you know.
Yeah, Melissa was very happy to see you at Mobtown Proper, and she was she's one of your big fans as well. She's probably listening right now. Hey, Melissa.
Yep. Oh, yeah. She's an awesome lady and does an unbelievable job there in what she's doing. But tell us a little bit about some of the things that are going on at Ed's.
Ed's, you know, we finally, you know, completed the project of lengthening that bar, and you know, Pete did a great job with the, you know, he's the design guy as it relates to art. He is amazing with some of the stuff he comes up with, and you know, he did that bar top with some bowling lane wood, and it really came out good. And we put that oyster bar down on the end with the glass, and you know, we've got varieties offered and mignonettes, and then we used the, you know, the commodity oyster, and just having fun with it. But you know, it's just, you know, it's creating some, you know, we're very proud of the different varieties and being able to tell a little bit about the story of where the oysters come from. We got a little educational video over there, and we're taking young folks and making them some culinary shuckers.
Man, how about that? Well, you said, what kind of oysters did you call them?
Well, we call them variety oysters. Some people call them boutique oysters. Bill Walton, one of the professors at Auburn University, he helped start this down here in South Alabama. And, you know, all in the Bayou Lavatra, I think there's 26 maybe now,
right,
of oysters.
Well, you know, and one of the things about that is we don't have to worry about those being having R's in the month anymore, not the way they're raising them there.
No, I'll tell you what, they're every one of them are unique in some way. You know, I don't care if it's the shell, the how they put them in the tumbler and shape them to, you know, how they're just farming them is, you know, being saltier ones. But, they have really, really been impressive as far as the process goes and how passionate they are about it. A lot of those folks that are harvesting over there are coming over to Ed's, and they're hanging out. Hell, some of them even coming to shuck.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. But, you know, it's really an awesome venue for them to start this oyster farming here on the Gulf Coast, and that those oysters don't get into the slime or get into the sand or whatever that's on the bottom of the of Mobile Bay. They actually stay suspended into the fresh salt water.
And in cages, one of the growers was telling me, I said, you know, a lot of times when the storms are coming, you know, a lot of the oyster supply either gets pretty scarce, prices go crazy, or the size of the oysters,
right,
are pretty brutal. With those oysters, when the storm comes, they actually submerge those cages down in the sand, and then they pull them back up, and they survive it.
Well,
so it was pretty interesting to see what they had to say as far as how they do that.
Well, they figured out a way to beat the storm zone. You know, that's southern ingenuity.
We got a lot of them.
Yep. All right. I tell you, I see you messing with the menu a little bit over there. I saw some grilled corn.
Yeah. So what we did was we tried to, you know, a little bit, keep Ed the oldies but goldies going, and then, you know, add some new twists to what we do. Ed is not just a fry house. We do just as much on grilled items. And we did some grilled street corn, which we used local corn, and we grilled it off and then served it with a nice white Bama white barbecue sauce on top. And then we take some Sherman sweet potatoes and actually kind of poach them and then cut them in discs and grill them off, so that we've gotten a good response.
Well, you know,
the dessert's next.
There you go. You were talking about the grill. I had some grilled tacos today, and they were unbelievable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, grilled awesome tacos, fish tacos.
Yeah, so I think the main thing that we want to do at Ed's is keep the oldies but gold, and then the rest of it, you know, keep creating new hits and people wondering what's
right
next at Ed's. You know?
Well,
and you know, we're doing the mullet on Tuesday, bringing in the fresh mullet, and you know, just having fun meeting new customers, and then, you know, hopefully exceeding with the older customers. Oh, these guys are really, really elevating what Ed's is. That's our goal.
Well, it's neat. And another thing I'd like to thank you for is for the new veterans flags that are flying on the front of the restaurant.
Yes, sir. We, you know, Pete's part of that Navy Entertainment Group. Those guys do stuff that's just unbelievable. I get to listen in on a lot of their, you know, conference calls and different things. And they're doing things for the right reason. They all deserve a medal for what they do as far as feeding the troops everywhere, and we're just happy to be able to, you know, show some honoring at Ed's by doing that.
Well, we appreciate what you guys are doing, what you and Pete are doing over there. You're doing an unbelievable job and you know, furnishing some great southern seafood and some other items as well. But appreciate you being on board with us tonight, and it's good to be able to talk to you again live on air.
And we're glad the Lucky Charm is back up and going, man. So thank you for having us.
All right, Nick. Thank you, buddy. Okay.
All right, have a great night. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun.
Soldier since I was 19, and I still haven't learned how to wait for it. I wanted a mission for my sins. They gave me one.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone, but hey, check us out on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it is always an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. Bill, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service to our veterans and their families.
Well, thank you, Cal. How have you been?
He's been better than I have.
I understood. I understood that Tom's
so,
been sick.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep. Cal's been having to ride this pony alone. So
someone said that he had one of those, what do you call them, psycho semi-automatic.
So really,
diseases, but they said no. You had the real deal. You were really sick, man. I am so glad to see you back. I'm glad to see you. Yeah, always
I'm
good
glad
to see
I
you
didn't
above
have
ground.
To partake of your services.
Yes, good to see you above ground.
Yes. Yeah, and I didn't make the cremation trip this time either.
Yeah, that's true.
But all that being said, it's it's a pleasure to be back. I'm just thankful to the good Lord. Let me get through all that, and he's undoubtedly he's got something else he wants me to do, so I'm ready for him to bring it on. But Bill, we continue to work with you in Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and you're always up to date with some new information and things that you guys are doing. But the COVID has been one thing that have you about worked through that and kind of got a system as to how all of those services are being handled?
Yes, we have increased the numbers of participants that are people that can come to services. For a while we were under mandate by the state that you couldn't have any more than 10, and that was heartbreaking. We've had families that said, look, I've got more than 10 in my immediate family. How can I have one brother come to the service and another can't?
Right.
So we have lifted that with restrictions of people who need to be masked. We practice the safe distancing to make it as safe as possible during this time.
Well, y'all could just call it a protest,
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you could have as many as you wanted. But that doesn't work under normal circumstances. But now, I understand that you guys are working on some new phases of your cremation and also some different facilities out there.
Yes, we are very pleased to announce, hopefully in about 6 weeks it'll be completed. We're adding a feature to our cremation garden at Serenity Rest. There is a feature that will involve in erecting a new flagpole. And a feature that would have the emblems of each branch of service cast in bronze. And so that is an exciting feature that we're looking forward to presenting to our families, and just another way of honoring our veterans.
Well, then this will be a Pacific Veterans area that you're speaking of?
It is a section in Serenity Rest. It would be on the north section there.
Okay. All right. Now, I understand that most funeral homes don't do their own cremations. How does that work?
You know, that's true. Most of the funeral homes in our area use third parties to do their cremation for their families. At Serenity, when we take your loved one into our care, they do not leave our care until the urn is returned to the family. So we control the security and the integrity of the process 100% of the way.
Well, so can you have military honors ceremony even if the family chooses to utilize the cremation?
Oh, absolutely. Many times we'll have a memory table there that would maybe display the urn, the maybe photographs of the decedent, his family, articles of
military awards and things?
Things of that nature.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we've had golfers. We have a golf club right there on the table there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Just little things that tie back to that person's life. And so we can have the flag folded. The military personnel will come in. They will unfurl the flag and refold it and then present it along with playing of taps and presentation of the flag to the next of kin.
Now, I run into a situation the other day where a lady is getting close to deeding her DD-214 for her husband, and she don't know where to find it. She didn't know what to do, and I told her, and I want to correct myself if this is wrong, but I told her that if you don't have that DD-214, then he can't have a military funeral until such time as you get a copy of that DD-214.
This is true. The military will not take our word for it that this gentleman or this lady served in our armed services and fought for our country.
Right. He's
and
a they staff sergeant need, that he was at Chosen in Korea.
Goodness. But yes, they absolutely have to have that discharge paper.
That being said, can you help file that?
Absolutely. We have a simple form that we gather information, the person's name, date of birth, Social Security number, and we send that off. They can get a good, clean copy of their discharge. It takes a couple of weeks. So
well,
this
that
is
was
not,
the other area. Now,
yes. This is something that you
so
don't want to wait to the last moment to
okay. So
for.
Then that being said, then the funeral, if they want to have the military funeral, then the funeral has to wait until the DD-214 gets back.
Well, if they're wanting the military honor ceremony,
right, military honors.
With,
okay.
with the service, they would. So if anyone is ever in doubt of where their discharge is, give us a call. We'll help you with that.
Okay, that's cool.
We'll help walk you through this to
right.
Fill
help,
that out.
Help file it. Yeah,
and
okay.
Get it filed for them. And,
that's awesome.
Get a good copy.
Now let's move back to the other area that we was originally talking about now. What about what do most people do with the ashes from a cremation?
Well, many people will take them and maybe bury them next to a loved one that has already predeceased them. Some people choose to take the urn home and just keep it in their home. Others will choose to utilize a garden like ours, very unique, where you have niche spaces that the urn is placed in.
Okay.
A granite faceplate goes on that with the person's name engraved and date of birth, date of death.
Darn, okay, well, that's neat. What are the advantages of having a permanent resting place like that versus scattering?
Well, you know, we have some families that choose scattering, and that's fine if that's what they want to do. Personally, I've always believed in what I refer to as a point of reflection, a place that you can physically go back to where
right.
you know that your loved one is at rest there, to go back to meditate, to just sit
have
back
a talk
and remember.
With them. Yeah, talk things over.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. And so that's what we provide at our Serenity Rest section of our gardens there.
So you actually have a special place for families to do that?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. And, of course, you've been through that garden
I sure
before.
Have, yeah.
It's beautifully landscaped. We try to have color year-round with the choices of landscaping materials that we use.
That is awesome. Now, the last time that we visited, and we covered a little bit of it a while ago, but now you're setting up a special section for veterans in your cremation garden.
Yes.
Any updates on this?
In about 6 weeks, we'll be hopefully finished with that. And so,
That work for in regards to a veteran?
Well, the veteran or their family would be able to choose that section to place the urn and have the memorialization of having the plaque with their person, that person's name, date of birth, date of death. You know, one thing that I think a lot of people overlook about memorialization and having a permanent resting place to come back to is cemeteries are a wealth of information for future generations.
Right, right.
You know, 100 years from now, they'll go through the garden and say, well, you know, that was my grandfather. I always wondered what that middle initial stood for, and now I see.
Yeah.
It's right here on the granite.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's awesome. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can call us anytime, 251-653-4781, or our website, www.serenityfuneralhome.com.
All right, man. I tell you what, it's been a pleasure having you on board.
It's always a pleasure seeing you.
I think the veterans deal that you're establishing out there now and having their own section there is very unique. But appreciate it. Bill Clark from Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens. And you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And on the other side of the break, Mr. Lou Lartigue and Miss Christine Elser when we return on the Scuttlebutt.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters, along with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
Well, I tell you, it's a pleasure tonight to have Brother Lou Lartigue on with us from South Alabama Veterans Council, and also Miss Christina Elser with him. But Lou, let's talk about some of the events now that we're having to change dates on and our council due to the COVID pandemic that we've had here and are still continuing to go through with.
Okay, thank you, Tom and Cal, for having us on. Yeah, a lot's happening with the COVID. You know, we're meeting now. The SAVC is meeting at the third Tuesday, but we're doing it by Zoom. Very successful meetings, but we've had to take a close look at what we're doing, and we figured we're gonna have to cancel our Flags of Glory, which is during the Veterans Day week, and for this year, and we're reviewing right now the status of our Armed Forces Day Blue Star Salute. This due to go in 15 May of 2021. And we'll make that decision somewhere around the end of October, first part of November, to see whether we're going to be able to make that happen.
And we're getting beat up, losing, you know, dropping out a bunch of these ceremonies and events that are so special to all the people that are involved in them.
I know, and just like we got the POWMIA Day celebration coming up on the 19th of September, and we're having to do it virtually, which is disappointing, but We'll have more information for you guys next week to how to go about hooking up with that and watching it. Some of it live and some of it pre-recorded.
Right.
Out of Montgomery. But, yeah, a lot going on. A lot going on. But we're trying to keep up with and be safe at the same time.
There you go. Well, you know, and we have to do that. You know, nobody knows it any better than I do. So
exactly. And we're very glad to see you back up and at 'em and a few true fighting spirit.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
heavy, you know, back, buddy.
10 feet tall and bulletproof, baby. It's old Jarhead, you know what I mean. But see,
can't keep a good one down.
About 5 weeks, so I was 5 foot tall, full of bullet holes.
Not leaking anywhere.
Yeah, right? Man, I was leaking all over, I tell you. I told them, you know, they didn't get through with all those needles and all that intravenous stuff that they were giving me in that hospital. I said, you know what, I'll make a perfect sprinkler system when I get home. I just stick the darn water hose in my mouth.
Like aliens.
Yeah, man, the needles and all. But anyway, now, Lou, did you have a special guest with you tonight? A lady that we all know in the Veterans Association around town, Miss Christine Elser.
I'll tell you what, Christine Elser joined us almost 2 years ago, and lives over in Daphne, and she's really a veteran supporter and working very hard. She came up with this idea about, doing a Alabama Veterans Resource webpage to put all the veterans-owned businesses on there.
Awesome.
To kind of help our veteran-owned businesses keep up, especially during these hard times.
Well, our veterans, all small businesses are getting beat up real bad. I know. Our buddy over there at our Marine buddy at Sausage Q Barbecue on government, he's been beat up pretty bad because then one thing, we're not able to meet over there anymore, you know, during this COVID deal. So if anybody has a chance to go over there and see him, it would I know it would help his business and let him know you heard about it on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Yeah, and Christine and I, we kind of looked around with the Chamber of Commerce and the Small Business Association and tried to see if there was a listing that we could go out for, and it was really hard to come up with a good, viable one.
Right.
So based on Christine's hard work, she developed a web page, and we're going to build our own list.
There you go.
Internally to help out. And Christine, why don't you jump in here and tell everybody about how to go about taking a look at it. And boy, I was really encouraged. Just this afternoon, we got four veteran-owned businesses and VSO signed up for this thing just this afternoon.
Right.
Which was
amazing.
That's
awesome, yeah.
Yes. As we can get that form spread to other veteran-owned businesses, I see a lot of people joining us, and then we will be able to share that information with our community.
Christine, where will this information actually be posted at? Where do you have it now, on your website?
Yes, we have two websites. We have the savc.net website that has a drop-down menu, and it has veteran-owned, and you can register there, and that's where you're going to also find your list when it's posted.
Okay.
And also on my website, it's going to be www.alabamaveteransresource.com, and that's going to have a veterans list there, too.
So. Okay. So now this will go out on website and go out on social media across, is that all of Alabama or just in southern Alabama or what?
It's wherever people want to spread it. So if you're sharing it and somebody in Arizona wants to see it and they're coming to visit Alabama and they want to see some veteran-owned businesses, they're going to be, hey, cool.
Okay.
They have a list. Wish we had one, you know?
Right.
even though things have been shut down because of COVID,
And it'll be available, and hopefully we'll be able to get it out through social media and other other areas to be able to let people know that it is available. And we've had
one. If they're having an event, it'd be great for us to know about it, and we can share it.
Okay. Well, then we will be, we will be putting this out on social media and different venues across the state and letting our veterans And you know, if people see it and they know a veteran that's got a veteran's business, be sure to go, maybe they go tell them about this and let them look it up, look up the website and all, and get become involved in it.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter what kind of business it is. It could be a small one-person business. It could be a realtor. It could be a lawn care person. It could be restaurants. It could be a big business.
Right.
So we're just wanting to know about which ones are veteran-owned so we can support them and know about them, because we don't know about them right now.
Right.
We know about the few in our area. It would be nice to know about more.
Yeah, we have no idea with who is a veteran, who has a veteran business out there, and we'd certainly like to promote them and their business and what they have to sell, and let our other veterans and other people that support veterans in general to participate in it. Can we get together a little bit some next week or so and come back and be able to get a little bit more information out about this?
Absolutely, and I hope that I'll have some the list. Fairly populated by then, and I can share some of those veteran-owned businesses with you.
Well, that would be neat. How about, for the benefit of our listeners out there, let's repeat the websites where this information is available.
Okay. You can go to savc.net. There's a drop-down menu that says veteran-owned on that page. Or you can go to www.alabamaveteransresource.com.
Now, the Alabama Veteran Resource is going to be the actual site for the veterans to sign up or register, right? Register their business.
You can register on both pages.
Beg your pardon?
You can register on both the SAVC site or on my Alabama Veterans Resource site.
Okay, so you could actually register on either one of them.
Yes.
All right. Lou, you have anything else you want to bring forth? Because we will be back on the air about this.
Well, I tell you what, my big thing is to tell all the veterans out there and that word of mouth is going to make this thing work.
Right.
And we need to push it and support it so we can help our veteran-owned businesses like,
yes.
Steve Carey, Certapro Paint guys over in Daphne, Sausacues, and other folks like that, that we can help them out during these times.
Hey, that's awesome. That's awesome, and I think it's a great venue, and Cal and I, Scuttlebutt Network would be working with you guys on this, and we'll do everything we can to get out the word to our veteran-owned businesses out there and let the public know about it. Some of those people might even be interested in advertising on the Scuttlebutt Network, and we're interested in talking with them as well.
Exactly. Again, it's a win-win-win situation, as Christine brought out. It's a win for everybody.
Right. Okay, guys, we got to go.
Okay.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Christine. Thank you. You did an awesome job. Lou, you did well. See you guys.
Okay, buddy.
See both of you later.
All right.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Listeners to SBN will know that although I am a member of the generation that was born into the Great Depression and have seen my share of turmoil in this nation, I am never shy about my love of this republic and that for which it stands. You may also know that, although that makes me a bit long in the tooth, I am still kicking and growling with a full head of hair that the king himself would envy.
When Elvis was young, he was a bad motherfucker, boy. Elvis was bad. He was vicious and shit. Sing his ass off. He sang so good, they let him do movies. He couldn't act.
They said, fuck it, let him sing all his dialogue.
They did. Everything Elvis said, he said, Elvis, we got to win this race.
We got to win this race.
Elvis, want some lemonade?
Lemonade.
That cool, refreshing drink.
As an SBN guest once observed, I am not going to die anytime soon since I am good breeding stock. But seriously, all of this makes me a prime candidate to succumb to the
Hong Kong pooey, quicker than the human eye. He's got style, a groovy style, and a pop that just won't stop.
However, those of you that really know me know that I am 6 foot tall, actually a little more, and bulletproof. And I have all my shots, and my doctor says that I have no need for testosterone shots. That was supposed to be a different promo. Oops. Anyway, aside from that, personal ad there, I have found this whole pandemic lockdown a bit much and have attempted to keep my busy social schedule going. I mean, come on. I got places to go and people to see. I got beeps. Whatever that means. And I have been practicing social distancing for years. If I don't want you near me, I'll let you know and then just stay the fuck away from me. And so it might come as no surprise to most of you that I have continued to move and shake and keep the Scuttlebutt Network going for our veterans and military during this time of government-imposed panic-demic. So I am happy to announce that I have had my first official encounter with a certifiable mask Nazi. Yep, that is right. The old Top Cat, the genteel Southerner, well-covered provider of TLC for so many in need, could come face-to-face with a new face. Well, actually, I couldn't see their face because of the damn mask. So I guess it's just the mask of control in our communities. That's right, the enforcer of the mask. So here is how it played out. Having spent a few minutes running the roads, I was headed back to the palatial TLC pad, but needed to stop to grab some grub from the local Rouses to, as the Cajuns say, make some groceries. Only needed a couple of items. I jumped out of the Claxton Mobile and headed toward the air-conditioned goodness of the awful oasis. Along the way, I grabbed a cart, one of those, you know, double-deckers, kind of mini carts that are so cool out of one of the cart corrals in the parking lot, thinking that I was helping out the poor Rouse's cart grabber in a small way. Of course, in an abundance of precaution, I did not touch the handles in order to be careful. I grabbed it from the front grate of the cage, an area that most don't touch, according to the experts. I happily and quickly dragged it up to the doors, only to discover about three-quarters of the way there that I had, oh my God, I had left my vehicle without placing a mask upon the tribute to jawlines such as George Clooney and John Wayne, which is my face. It took me about a half a second to realize that in this heat, I was not walking back to the Claxton Mobile to retrieve my cloth version of a gas mask that we have been told we must wear in public. Unless you are protesting, rioting, looting, stealing, being the mayor of New York City, being the governor of New York, or beating the shit out of a police officer. Therefore, I proceeded to march into the Rouses with my cart and took my time cleansing it, and my hands in the foyer with the sanitation tools that they have generously provided since the beginning of this insanity. I even rubbed a little bit of the hand sanitizer behind my ears for the ladies.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we, baby? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice?
Nothing like a little Purell 5.0 to get them going. I then walk myself and my cart, now pushing it by its purified handles. Then we get a hallelujah sound effect behind that. Through the sliding doors into the gloriously air-conditioned, low-humidity vastness of a grocery store that has its roots literally on the bayous of Houma, Louisiana. As I made my way, very cautiously, into the aisles, all the while knowing exactly what I wanted and where it was located, I was confronted with a plethora of once-free citizens stumbling through the aisles, a mask in compliance with unlawful executive dictates as they tried to do the most basic of necessities, put food on the table of their family and loved ones. Having no fear that I could, as a former race car driver, figure out how to navigate this, I cautiously maneuvered my double-decker grocery depository towards my destination, only to have to slow my pace in order to maintain my social distance from the sheeple in the aisles. As I slowed at one point, I heard a faint call of, "Sir," in the distance. Nobody don't call me sir. Not thinking anything of it, I continued my cautious sortie to grab some groceries, pausing to keep my distance, lest the ignorance of those around me rub off. "Sir," I heard again, this time closer and more strident. I quickly glanced over my shoulder to find a local rent-a-cop taking a bead on the Top Cat. Hardly believing what was happening, I paused as Buford T. Justicina made her way well within what could be considered my personal space, much less the 6 feet recommendation that is plastered all over the damn floors, along with one-way and do not enter signs found on many large retailers in order to show that they are down with the struggle against the Rona. "Sir, do you have a mask?" The masked crusader bleated, almost in shock. "Well, no," I only have to pick up a couple of things, and I know exactly where they are, and I'm trying to stay 6 feet from others until you came over. I promise I will be in and out, I replied. But sir, she cried, you have to have a mask. Not deterred, I promised that I would be in and out quickly. No good. You have to have a mask. Getting a bit peeved at this point, I asked her if she was really going to kick me out of the store if I did not have a mask. But you have to have a mask. Fine. I took my shirt, pulled it up over my mouth and nose and said, there, I have my face covered. Not good enough for cop ratchet. But my manager said, you have to have a mask. Which, of course, is not what the unlawful edict actually says. Poor Ratchet just wasn't having a good day because I happened to be good friends with the manager who happened to be standing a few feet away. That manager, I asked, headed that way with my cart, Ratchet in tow. I quickly exchanged pleasantries with my friend and asked him if the shirt pulled up over my face and suffocating me would suffice to spend my hard-earned money in his store. Smiling, he said, of course I can. I thanked him, and as I headed towards my goal, I glanced over my shoulder at the crestfallen cop with a casual, no hard feelings. As I made the turn down the aisle, I could almost feel the deflation in Justicina's voice as she realized that she was, alas, just an empty suit giving importance for a day by browbeating free people with an unlawful government order. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, there was no shortage of sheeple wandering the store with masks on their face, either feeling proud because they, as we have been told, quote, wearing is caring, are feeling cowed because they don't have the balls to stand up and remain free. Regardless, the fact is that the government, through edict, can force us to wear a mask with questionable results. Then what can they not force us to do? Just think about it. We need to reassess the statement that our founding fathers adhered to, which is, I will not comply. It is the ultimate in freedom to be able to choose for yourself what you will wear, where you will go, and with whom you will assemble, and for what reason. The choice is yours, but has repercussions for future generations. As for me, I would rather die on my feet with no mask on my face than die on my knees along the bastards of social justice. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. You pissed off yet? Good.
Where's your drill sergeant, man?
Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Well, good job there, Tom. Good to have you back. That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans. For the veterans, we thank you for joining us. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We will catch you on the other side.
Hurrah!